Okay, one of the most interesting minhagim, not minhagim, mitzvahs that Jews have is the concept of the Seir HaMishtaleach, where we take two goats and we bring one inside, we do a gerol, we do a lottery, one gets selected to be shechted on the korban and the mizbeach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one, the Seir goes lazazil, we throw him off the precipice. I learned Mishnayos with my kids, and there's no question that one of the things that captivates their minds almost more than anything is this Seir LaZazil, you know, violence, a goat being thrown over the precipice and being severed limb by limb is something that's fairly exciting. The Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tshuva depicts in great detail this Seir LaZazil. Two gorolos, of course, we know that the goats have to be of equal height, of equal stature, of equal cost, of equal look, of equal appearance. Everything is equal. And they took this lottery, and one was assigned for the Mizbeach, and one was assigned Lazazel. And what happened was they took a crimson thread and put it on the horns, and they put the other half of this crimson thread, and they tied it to the Mikdash area. And when the goat got thrown over the precipice, the thread, this crimson thread, would turn white. It's a very strange concept. Not only that, vis-a-vis the atonement, it has superpowers, the Seir LaZazel. Superpowers. The Rambam, in the very beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, tells us, the Seir HaMishtaleach atones for all Averos in the Torah, Kalos V'chamuros, for the light ones and for the severe ones. Ben she'aver bizadon, ben she'aver bishkaga, whether you did it intentionally, whether you did it unintentionally, ben she'hodolo, ben she'lohodolo, whether you knew about it, you got the memo, whether you didn't get the memo, hakol mischapir b'seir ha-mishtalech, everything is atoned for with the seir ha-mishtalech, v'usha'asa tshuva, provided you did tshuva. But listen to this, this is unbelievable. Avalim lo'asa tshuva, but if you didn't do tshuva, ein ha-seir mechapir lo, el ha-kalos. The only thing that the Seir HaMishtaleach works for is the kalos, but it works without tshuva. I don't have to do an ounce of tshuva. I send it, somebody else is going to, Ishiti, he's going to send the goat over the precipice, and I am going to get tshuva. Umayim kalos, umayim chamuros. What are these kalos and what are these chamuros? The chamuros are that which Chayav Beis Din occurs. The big ones, right? Vushvuz shav, sheker, afal pi shehein bahen chayav karis, harein min chamuros. Don't use God's name falsely. V'sha'ar mitzvahs losa, the rest of the mitzvahs losa, which there's plenty of, right? Mitzvahs ase, ben she'en ben karis, heim ha'kalos. Those are she'en ben karis, as long as no karis. Those are kalos. Meaning that, what are the, you ate pig, bittul Torah, you spoke lashon hara. This Seir HaMishtaleach will atone for you. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is going on with the Seir HaMishtaleach, the Ramban, and the Ibn Ezra? They speak in Kabbalistic terms about how it works. And they said, look at the number 33. You got to see the Ibn Ezra inside. And the Ramban tries to make sense of it. L'maisa, what the Ramban says in the end of the day, which we're not going to get into now, is it some sort of bribe that that God, there's a host and a master, he gives the mashal with a host, makes a meal for the master. And the master says, listen, Tzadik, make sure you give to the other guy to take care of him, and then you'll be able to be free. So some sort of matana, some sort of bribe. That's what the Ramban spells out. I don't fully understand the Ramban. I'm working on it. Amir Tzashem. Maybe by Yom Kippur I'll understand it. But Rav Shimshon Pinkus wants to understand this. And for those of you who have ever seen Rav Shimshon Pinkus' story, of course, he's filled with beautiful mashal to explain his point. And hopefully we'll add on to it a little bit. But he gives a beautiful mashal to understand, what is this idea of this goat getting sent off the precipice that really atones for us? What's going on here? And he begins with a question. He says the following. He says, we know we're giving him a gift. You're giving the Yetzer Hara a gift. That's the way you want it. It's a shochet. It's a gift. What does that mean? La'azazel. This is La'azazel, representing Esav. You're giving a goat to Esav. So he says, do we have such a concept? This is a chsam sofer. He says the following. He says, you can see like this. Let's say you have a Talmud Chacham. He sits and learns all day. He says, you know what? I got to give the Yetzer Hara a gift. So I'll violate Nisra. What? Does that make any sense? Sam Sofer says, you can never ever give it to the Yetzer Hara. So now we're giving a Shochet to the Yetzer Hara? So the Ramban uses the word shochet. How do we understand this? What is this idea of this gift, of this shochet, that we're giving to Esav? And because we're giving a gift to Esav, then all of a sudden, our sins are going to be forgiven. That's a very difficult concept to understand, this Ramban. And through the lens of Pinchas, we're going to say it in a little bit of a different way. So, let's understand what is happening with this Goro. All korbanos really are expressions of sorts. There's a famous, well-known Rasho we spoke about a number of years ago, Parashat Vayikra, that Adam Kiyakriv Mikem, really supposed to be me on that Mizbeach. I did the sin instead of me. I'm going to put the animal. The animal's replacing me. So I put the animal on the Mizbeach, and he gets shechted because it's supposed to be me. So the simple understanding is that when I send this Seir, it's also, when I send this goat out, it means I'm taking the portion of Esav of me. That Esav portion that's inside of me, the Yetzihara that's inside of me, and I'm not using it, I'm removing it from me. And I am breaking it limb by limb. It's not a bribe that I'm giving to the Yetzihara, but rather a removal from all of that which is inside of me that has the Yetzihara, and I'm giving it to Esav. And he says like this, Pinchas, he says, really, you have to look at what he calls bidur. Now again, that includes all of things that, I do in, quote-unquote, my spare time. I hate the language spare time, but let's use the term benas manin. I don't know what spare time means. Spare time means, some of this time is the one thing you can't replace. But this idea that I use during my off time when I'm not in yeshiva, I'm not in work, chalamay time, etc. So what do? We take a nice kosher tiyul, we go hang out with the family, we find some kosher activities. But Esav, it says, al charbacha tichya, on the sword he lives. What does that mean? He likes to die? He likes to be with a sword? No, it means that very often in the Western culture, what's happening is, it's not that they live by the sword, so to speak, but rather they enjoy the sword. Today, you watch a movie, you could see death 100 times in a couple of minutes, right? People love watching violence. Al charbacha tichya, which definitely has a roshem on the person. It's not such a new concept. Before there was electricity, before there were movies, what did they used to do in order to see these things? They used to go to the stadiums, and they used to watch gladiators kill each other. This is bull runs. What's the excitement in these things? Al charbacha tichya. Esav gets his chius from violence, from seeing things that are antithetical to closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They get their livelihood from seeing destruction of other people. There is a morbid curiosity when, again, nobody's ever sanctioning what ISIS does, but people are, they get a lot of publicity because people like death. On the other hand, Judaism is exactly the opposite. Where do we get our most geschmack from? Kasha from Biki Hager. You give them a riddle, they can spend days on it. My son gave me a riddle yesterday. I told him I can. 1 equals 5, 2 equals 10. I forget exactly how it goes, but I have to figure out what 5 is equal to. A good kasha from Rabbi Akiva Eger, you learn a sugya. There's a certain excitement. A tish on a Friday night. Our chius, our livelihood, our excitement that's generated comes from a completely different place. So this could be the secret of the two goats taken on Yom Kippur. One for Hashem and one for Azazel. Which camp are we in? Are you in the camp that's going to enter into the Mikdash? Or are we in the camp, Chas V'Shalom, that's going out to Azazel? So we're telling the Kadosh Baruch Hu on the holiest day of the year, look who we're identifying with. We are identifying with Hashem. One guy is going to go out to Azazel to see that goat. We're not giving a gift to Esav, but merely we're declaring, look at what team I play for. I play for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, when Esav sees Yaakov, the first question he asks him in that great battle between the two, Vayishlach, he says, Lemiata, who do you play for? What team are you on? Who do you identify with? It's like, I saw this week an amazing blog. Menachem Butler sent it to me, tabletmagazine.org, tablet mag, right? So they were talking about a guy. The reason why it came is because of Aaron Lichtenstein, but really nothing to do with Aaron Lichtenstein. This guy is the assistant principal in Skokie in Chicago. And he has the most unique collection of baseballs I've ever seen. You know, a lot of people, they get baseballs, and they get them signed by famous players. You know, Derek Jeter, Alex Rodriguez, Iglesias, whatever it is, right? All these wonderful ballplayers. So this guy says, why are we doing that? Who are we chasing? So he has baseballs signed by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rav Moshe Feinstein, all these Chasher Rabbanim. Because what camp are you in? Who are you chasing? Are you chasing after the ballplayers that, you know, Baruch Hashem, we enjoy a good game. There's nothing wrong with enjoying a good game. But are you enjoying, who are you revering? Are you revering the player or the Rav? You know, I got into a fight, not a fight, a long arichas email many, many years ago when a particular team won a championship. And the shaila was, the next day, do you go to the parade? I have this long arichas of an email with a particular balabas who his son wanted to go. And I said, listen, watching a game is innocuous. But then to worship the player the next day, that's a whole different avodah zarah. A Jew doesn't do that. You could enjoy yourself. Again, the whole idea of worshiping sports is a whole different story. A lot of mashalim I don't want to get into that now. But the idea of having a good time and watching a game is one thing. But the next idea to worship the player, that's what camp are you in? There's a famous story of the Kedushas Levi that Rabbi Weinberger told last year, January 1st, where all of a sudden on January 1st, finally the Kedushas Levi was nervous the whole year post Rosh Hashanah, on January 1st he celebrated. So they said, what are you celebrating January 1st? He goes, because Rosh Hashanah came, we were sitting and learning and we were davening and we were doing everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I was wondering if the tefillahs were going to accept it. And I went through all the Yom Tov and nothing was happening. Comes January 1st, and I see that what other people are doing on their New Year's, what are they doing on their New Year's? They're waiting for a ball to drop. They're doing whatever, he didn't say that, because the Kedushas Levi was before that. But they're waiting for January 1st to come, and then they have a L'chaim. Look at what camp the Jew puts himself in, and look what camp the Westerner puts himself, the guy puts himself in. Who are we identifying with? The idea of the Sel Azazel is all about a point of identification. Do we identify with who we are and who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and that's where we get our chiyus from? Or are we getting it from where the Goyim are from? And Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day of the year, this is what it's about. Yom Kippur. Today is not Yom Kippur, but we read about the Avodah of Yom Kippur. We read about it. And we read about it, we always have to have a mind. Okay, what's going to be our mindset comes Yom Kippur? When Yom Kippur comes, what's going to be the mindset? Where are we? And we're showing the Kodesh Baruch Hu Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, that we're not going to, like the Kedushas Levi said, we're not going to celebrate it with a party and da da da, but rather we're going to celebrate it by identifying with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what always keeps us strong. And we can even get out of the Averos Kalos, like the Rambam said in the beginning, is if we put ourselves in the position of being that Yid, of being that Jew in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with the Kohen Gadol, and instead of taking our Seir and donating it to Esav, and giving it to our Yetzirah, but rather we're taking the Yetzirah, and we're throwing it away, and we're saying, that's not who I am. But instead I'm identifying with a Jew. I'm going to get my baseball signed by a Gadol instead of the baseball player. Have an amazing Shabbos.